races. Ba, 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 ba,
races. Ba, ba. Races. What's racing? What do you got that's race worthy?
Well, to be fair, I think I mispronounced it. I don't think I meant to say we're off to the races as much as we are off to the races. As in Rey Skywalker from the Star Wars sequel trilogy. She recently had an interview and she had some interesting revelations. Actually, it was she was talking to Josh Gad on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And was asked if she knew Rey's parentage from the beginning of episode 7. She said, no. At the beginning, there was toying that an Obi-Wan connection, and then there were like 3 different versions. And then it really went to that she was no one. And then it came to episode 9, and JJ pitched me the film and was like, oh yeah, Palpatine's your granddaddy. And I was like, awesome. And then 2 weeks later, he was like, oh, we're not sure. So it kept changing, and then filming, blah, blah, wasn't sure what the answer was going to be. So it goes to show, they had a plan over at Lucasfilm for this sequel trilogy, and clearly it worked out for the better.
Oh my God! It's kind of funny, you know, John Boyega, who played Finn, has been in the news a lot recently, speaking for various groups and things ideas that he's very, very passionate about, and had made even comments about Star Wars not being not doing enough with his character. He felt like it became a secondary character, and speaking on diversity of film, he was doing this on Twitter, I think, or maybe it came from an interview. And now you have
that was GQ. That was a GQ interview.
GQ. Okay. Yeah. So it was a
article. It was a very extensive interview where he made his point very clear.
Yes. Yes. And then you have Daisy Ridley coming out and not straight up, fair, you know, yeah, disparaging.
I think it's different in this case. I think and John Boyega, he was just like, nah, it was shit. It sucks, yeah, blah, blah, where she's just like, that she was asked a question, she just gave a really direct answer.
Yeah, but she's proving to what a lot of fans have assumed from the beginning, that they never really had a set in stone outline, mm-hmm, of these major points.
I mean, I think that's been true. Like, it's like, we've known that. It's not been a huge secret. They haven't tried to hide it at Lucasfilm.
Well, no. I think it was Kennedy or Abrams at one point said they, or maybe it was one of the assistants, said they had always intended to bring Palpatine back. And
really?
That's a lie. I'll never believe that for ever. I'll never believe that. But good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings. Today with Kyle and
Jammer. And I do want to say, like, I think
we got it in under 5 minutes. I'm happy about that.
Well, we got I lost my train of thought. So I think the thing is, I still don't think you need to have a plan from the get-go. Yes, it's nice if you can. Yes, it's ideal a lot of times, but it's not the only way to work. Like, there are so many things where they don't know where they're going. Like, you know, Breaking Bad. They never knew where they were going, and yet everything tied up well because they are really good at pivoting based on what came before. They're really good at making things match up with what came before. They're really good at improvising. Unfortunately, J.J. Abrams, not so much. Personally, I think Rian Johnson gave interesting answers to the questions, and I was like, okay, cool. What happens next? Apparently, what happens next is we go back to the way things were before. So, like, it's just a matter of being able to pivot. And I think J.J. Abrams really had an opportunity to pivot on what Abrams put before him and to make something really cool and different. But ultimately, went back to The Rise of Skywalker, which actually I just watched an interview with George Lucas this morning. I don't know if it's new. It might be new, but it all might also be old, where, you know, he emphasized that Star Wars is ultimately a soap opera about generations of family, and he says that's basically what the core of Star Wars is. And that's what is also interesting to me is, and I've known this for a while, like it's very clear that George Lucas had a very different perspective on what he wanted from the franchise. For him, it wasn't about creating a franchise that people loved. It was about telling a story that he wanted to tell. And it was just about the Skywalker family and their legacy and stuff. And it had very little to do with what fans wanted. Whereas Lucasfilm, I think, was very much trying to do something that fans would love. And obviously, worked out for me. Didn't work out for a lot of other people. At least the first two worked out for me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna try to do my back to back 7 and 9 viewing sometime this week. I'm gonna try.
I didn't do and, shit. It's not gonna do
like,
shit.
Like I said, just see if it makes anything better about 9. By ignoring 8 and going straight from 7 and 9, just to see. I really don't know. But I really don't even want to watch 7 again.
Why?
That's 7's fun. The problem. It's a fine movie, but I have no passion for it. However, Lucas went over to our little DVD stand and picked up Return of the Jedi and wanted to watch it, I'd be like, fuck yeah, let's do this. I don't know. 7 was a fine movie. I think I ended up seeing it three times in theaters. Once opening night with Christine, and then we took Lucas to see it, and then I watched it once with Brian just for shits and giggles.
Mm.
So, I wonder if there's gonna back to a point I was making about Daisy Ridley coming out and saying what she said. I wonder if you're gonna hear any more. There's been kind of like veiled swipes from Hamill lightly veiled.
Yeah, he's been shitting on this franchise from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. The sequel and the way Luke was treated and all of that. He's been pretty.
I think he's too much of a fanboy.
I think he understands that Star Wars is bigger than any writer or director, and that there is some responsibility to fans to not deviate from the planned course, I guess. I don't know how to put it into words.
I know what you mean, and I just think it's flat wrong. I don't think that filmmakers and storytellers should cave to fan expectations, because that's a way to kill off a franchise slowly and to basically just make it less and less interesting over time. So, and I think that's a lot of people, like, I know, for example, Seth fucking hates Rian Johnson and hates what he did with the Last Jedi. And one thing he always points to is, like, when apparently, what was it, Mark Hamill talked about, like, oh, yeah, you have to do it with the fans. And then Rian Johnson's like, no, you can't think about the fans. You have to think about what you want to do. And I think he's always like, that goes to show how fucking selfish he is. And I'm like... Mm-hmm. Nah. No, I think it just goes to show his perspective is, if you're too busy worrying about what fans will do, you'll end up making something that's really safe and bland. And the great thing about Star Wars when it came out, I mean, and if you like the prequels, the thing you could argue about the great thing about Star Wars in the prequel trilogy is that it's very much the perspective of the filmmaker. It's very much the movie that they wanted to make. And it just so happened that the sensibilities lined up with fans. And and then fans also, they complain about, like, you know, those are the same fans that complain about sort of the homogenization of blockbusters constantly. And I'm like, you guys are part of the problem and you don't realize it. I continue to hate Jammer continues to shit on fans. It's basically what we can call this podcast.
I'm gonna damn it! I had something and then I lost it.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
It happens. Oh, we'll see. We'll see if we end up with a Snyder cut situation about the Star Wars sequel trilogy, where as time goes on, now we've got three stars saying at various levels of negativity about about the process of doing the sequel trilogy. Can you see yourself ever doing a sequel trilogy watch through?
I mean, I actually watch the first two regularly. I generally probably, maybe I've only seen the third one or Rise of Skywalker once. I have no desire to go back to it. But the thing is, I'm different from most people in that if basically a product or a series gives me 9 great episodes and one completely shit episode, or 6 great episodes and 3 shit episodes, that doesn't really ruin the previous 6 for me. I could still go back and enjoy those for what they are. So, yeah. Like, I'm not like a lot of people. Like, it doesn't ruin the Rise of Skywalker. Or, excuse me, it doesn't ruin The Force Awakens. It doesn't ruin The Last Jedi for me. It doesn't ruin any of the previous ones. It doesn't. It doesn't cheapen it, because those still stand up well on their own, in my opinion. So, no, not a whole trilogy, but not because it's ruined by The Rise of Skywalker, but just because I just don't want to watch The Rise of Skywalker again.
Yeah.
And also, I'm never one to do trilogy watch-throughs, because that's a long time. That's a lot of hours. And I just don't have the time to dedicate to sit down for, like, 9 hours.
This was last year sometime. I think I was doing it in prep for something we did for the website. I don't remember. Maybe not. But my intent was to watch over a weekend all 4 Avengers films. Just
okay, look at that.
Avengers, Age of Ultron, Infinity War, and Endgame. But I was only going to watch 2 a day, and not necessarily back to back. Right.
Okay.
I was just going to watch one, take a break, do whatever, then watch the other. I ended up watching all 4 Avengers films in one day.
It really highlights just how terrible the second one is. Right? Come on.
No, I really enjoy it. Age so much. Of Ultron. I do. What's his name? Spader did the voice for Ultron, right?
Yeah.
I like that they didn't manipulate his voice too much, because he's got a good menacing, yet intelligent sounding voice. I thought that was really, really good casting right there.
Yeah, I thought the casting was good. I think all the pieces were fine. I think what sucked was the script.
Yeah.
Four jacuzzi scenes.
There being some issues with, hey, you must set this up for the future versus doing what you want to do in this movie. So one of these scenes has to go. Guess which one it's going to be. And that's how we got stuck with the Thor jacuzzi scene.
Yeah, and then and like the vision that Tony Stark had, which bothers me to this day. Not the vision itself. I'm totally fine with the vision with it being vague and shit, but people going like, see, they had it planned from the very beginning, and I'm like, that vision is vague as fuck. It's just a pile of dead bodies. That's all it is. Yeah, like, there's nothing specific about it.
Yeah, they like, always point to the broken cap shield and stuff like that. And,
exactly.
The broken cap shield could have easily been just a Easter egg, you know. Hey, you remember that time Thanos did this to Cap? No, I don't think they had. I think Kevin Feige has a very, very clear idea where he wants to be at the end of any point in time.
I don't actually. I don't think he does. I think he's really good at pivoting. I think he...
See, that's what I was going to say is in the middle is where he gets really good at changing and figuring out still how to get to that end goal.
Here's the thing. I don't think he knew anything about Endgame or Infinity War until they started actually working on it. I think what he knew is Thanos is going to be the main conflict. It's going to revolve around the Infinity Stones. And that's pretty much it. Like, that's probably what that's not a very specific idea of where you go. That's a blanket premise.
But it still gives you an eye on the target, what the target is.
Sure.
It still helps.
I guess, but it's not really like, it's not that much to work with. That's the thing, is it's not, yeah, I'm sure it helps a bit, but it's not like.
It could have been a little bit more, but yeah.
I'm not saying
probably right at the end.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm really not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that I think people overestimate how well played. Like, yes, there's a basic idea, maybe there's a basic outline, especially as they start developing the projects and they start developing like all of these movies. But like, say for example, there are five projects in the works, you know, they're being developed simultaneously. As they're being developed, it's probably realigning just like how things are going to turn out. It probably shifts, you know, shifts his perspective on the future a bit. Maybe it doesn't. It just depends a little. And then it just kind of keeps going. It's a constantly evolving and changing thing. But yeah, he has his eye in a specific area. Occasionally that area changes, but also the area could be so vague that it really doesn't matter. The stuff that came before it, all it does is kind of, you narrow it down from there.
Yeah. I mean, me and you essentially have the same idea. I think he's got a clearer target in sight, but he's so good at having a plan and saying, okay, I need to make sure I put breadcrumbs here, and here, and yet still allow filmmakers, especially the Russo brothers, Winter Soldier and Coogler with Black Panther. He's really good about letting directors be directors.
Yeah, they've gotten better about that over the years. I think they really hit a slump.
At the beginning, there were some issues.
Beginning, I don't think was too bad because they didn't realize what they had. I think the worst was phase two when they realized, oh, we have to homogenize everything, or oh, we have to try to make everything feel a certain way. And I feel like that was what Thor the Dark World, the effect of that one had, is them trying to push a specific feel onto a movie rather than letting the director dictate that. Which is ironic because Iron Man 3 was very director focused. Guardians was very director focused. I think that Age of Ultron, and maybe to an extent the first Ant-Man movie, which as much as I enjoy that, still feels kind of vanilla compared to a lot of the other ones. That they feel kind of like bland. And then I think around phase three, realized they had the confidence. They're like, oh, wait, we could actually kind of let directors do things that they want to do a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and I also love the further you get into the saga, the less hand holding there is story wise for what came before.
One thing
I did a list once. I can't remember. I could probably look it up. Let's see here. Let's do LRM important.
What was the list
MCU
for?
MCU movies. I did a list of the most important LRM or LRM, because I'm looking at the letters. I had an article about the, I think I had it five must watch movies to get to Endgame.
Can I guess what they
like
are?
That. I'm trying to look up the article so that way I can remember what they are.
So it's before the top ones before Endgame, right?
Yeah, but it's not like best ones, it's the ones that are most important for the
story. Yeah. I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to think of what they would be, and you could let me know if they match up at all. I'm thinking of a second. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so they are Iron Man, Captain America. Fuck, I fucked up. So here, Avengers. Age of Ultron, Cap, and then there's what the heck is it? Iron Man. Then there's Captain America, the first one. The first Avengers, the second Avengers, Captain America Civil War. Are those the ones?
I'm trying to look for that. Sounds familiar. I tried Damn, I thought it would be somewhere right around here. That sounds about right. It was Iron Man, First Avengers.
Oh, so you skipped Civil Captain War. America.
Yeah, I skipped Captain America and let him get his introduction and everything in Avengers. So I think it was Iron Man, Avengers, and then I think Doc Strange and
Doc Strange. And, interesting.
Because of the time element, I thought at the time it was going to be very, very important because. You know, I was guessing. Hadn't seen Endgame yet. I can't find the list. I'm around there somewhere because I can see Endgame articles, but I'm tired of looking for it. I figured I could Google it and had a good way to do a Google for it, but I guess not. And are you excited at all for that Dune trailer?
Oh, fucking A. Yes, I'm very excited for that Dune trailer. I forgot it's coming. It's coming. Is it here? Is it here yet?
I don't know if it's out yet. You can go ahead and try, but I found the article. It was the 10 most important films. See how you feel about this.
Okay. The 10 most important films? Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, this was the 10 most important MCU films to see before Avengers Endgame came out April 14th last year. I did put Captain America, First Avenger,
okay.
Iron Man,
yep.
Followed by the Avengers,
yep.
And then Guardians, Age of Ultron.
Yeah, Guardians, yeah.
Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron, Civil War, Doc Strange, Ragnarok, Infinity War, and Ant-Man and the Wasp because of the quantum thing. I wanted to include both Doc Strange and Ant-Man and the Wasp because I wasn't sure exactly how time travel was
so
going to end
up. I would make one change, I think. I think I would replace Doctor Strange with the Winter Soldier because it shows Cap's... What's the word I'm looking for? It shows the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D., but then it also shows Cap's... What's the word I'm looking for? Disenfranchisement from humanity. Him slightly losing faith in humanity and starting to sort of think more on his own rather than just taking orders.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt those had the most important elements of what I expected for Endgame.
Right.
And sounds like you and I were pretty similar on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think would you take out Doc Strange now that you know what Endgame is? Would you change that at all?
Yeah, actually I would. I would definitely knowing now, I would take out Doc Strange cuz I think his introduction including magic and stuff is fine in Infinity War. And you get to learn about the time stone all you need. What would I put in its place? Winter Soldier is a good idea. Shift it around so that way Winter Soldier can go in there.
You know,
because it doesn't do just that, but it also sets up Bucky better. But I could also see putting Black Panther in there at that point as well to get a better introduction to the technology and capabilities of Wakanda and why versus getting to Infinity War and they've got shields around their city. That's great. You know, I think I could do that. Actually, I think I would probably do that. If I updated my list, I could remove Doc Strange and put in Black Panther.
Okay. What, let's see here. Just kind of shifting a bit. There's an interesting video that I found. And I didn't know where it was at first. I don't remember. It's from July. It was from Nando versus Movies. And he had a good point. He thinks that Phase 2 is in the wrong order. And I agree completely. He thinks that Phase 2 should have started... Oh, I don't know what order it was. We'll see here. I'm trying to remember what order it was. I think his main suggestion, however, was that Age of Ultron should have come basically one of the first movies to come in the phase. And that it should have ended with Captain America Civil War.
Huh.
So I'm trying to remember the order specifically, but he had some really good logic there, though he admitted that there would be some slight story requirements change because of like the order slightly being different, but I think it would have worked way better as a narrative. I highly recommend the video. It is called Marvel Phase 2 is in the Wrong Order. And it's 20 minutes long, but it like he goes pretty in details and talking about like why he thinks change should be effective. And I think I remember agreeing with most of it. I think there are a couple things that I thought that were different, but on the whole, I think it does really fix the narrative issue that I had with it. It also fixed another issue that I had with Age of Ultron, where it's like, you know, at the end of Iron Man 3, he destroys all of his Iron Man armor. And then, you know, he's back the next movie in Avengers Age of Ultron as if nothing happened. And that's not even addressed until Civil War, I think, where he just said he didn't stop. You know, it's not really given much thought. You know, it almost feels like it almost felt like that Joss Whedon was going off of some. What's the word? Some what is the word when things hit have a certain foundation?
Shit, it's the fan. Oh, things have a what?
Foundation? Status quo. Status quo. So it's almost like he was going off of the assumption of a status quo when all the other movies were constantly sort of changing the personalities and perspectives and placements of the characters. And he wasn't given the memo.
I can kind of see some of that. What was I going to ask? I'd already asked my question about a sequel trilogy watch through. I don't know. I can't remember. So
there is one thing I really want to say as well, really quick.
Okay, go ahead.
You know the Justice League Snyder Cut trailer, right? We've talked about that, yeah? Did I mention how one of the things I love is when people take movie trailers, and they change out the movie. So, like, cutting a movie trailer from another movie in the style of another movie.
Right.
Someone did that for Avengers, both Infinity War and Endgame, with the Justice League Snyder Cut, you know, Hallelujah song going on.
Oh, God, I gotta watch that.
It's not great.
Is it funny?
No, it's
not even in a bad way.
No, it's just kind of bland. And I think the reason why is because say what you will about Zack Snyder, the dude is a visual master.
He can put very pretty pictures on screen
for sure. Yes. And, as much as I think Endgame is one of like the greatest superhero movies of all time, or one of the greatest movies, like I fucking love Endgame so much from a narrative standpoint, it is almost flawless for me. I cannot highlight enough just how much better it is than Infinity War for me. But anyway, as great as the movie is, and as great as some shots and some moments are, there is no doubt that there is very much a difference between what Marvel Studios tends to do with a lot of their visual effects and cinematography and stuff versus what Zack Snyder does. Like, one is clearly an auteur, and then whereas the other ones is more of like maybe they care less about visuals than they do about the story.
Yeah.
And it became all too clear when that fake trailer came, where it just it didn't match. Like, it didn't stand alone as like visual as the Justice League one did. And it really just goes to highlight just how great he is at what he does, even if you don't like his movies.
Yeah. Yep. I'll give you that. And I don't hate all of Zack Snyder's stuff. I think he's had several really good fun films. So, but anyways, thank you guys so much for listening today. Make sure you are checking out LRMonline.com every single day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Check out the YouTube channel, the LRM Online YouTube channel. Lots of great celebrity interviews on there. And of course, this LRM Online Podcast Network. Great shows connected to us, including Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the Comic Source, Geek Scholars Movie News. We got a lot of content, people. Please subscribe. Subscriptions helps us grow. And when we grow, we get to do more things for you guys. So definitely subscribe to everything. Jammer, where can people find you out online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, all of my entertainment news at LRMOnline.com, and then all my books under the name AJ Serna on Amazon and Audible.
You guys can find me at that Kyle. Sorry. At that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.